B-Pod Studios.
Feel like busting loose. Busting loose.
Is that Friday vibe?
Good yeah. for you.
No, we all feel like busting loose because that's the kind of weekend it's going to be. It's going to be a busting loose kind of weekend. And let me just start off by saying this. Jamie, I feel like one day I'm going to walk in here and people are going to be stabbed, but like Mike Trout's going to be a filler.
I do like that saying.
You do like that.
I will stab you.
I would stab you if that meant Mike Trout was going to be a filler. I would stab you.
I would imagine stabbing someone is not an enjoyable feeling.
No. Per sources of people that have been stabbed. You've been stabbed by a pencil, haven't you?
Yeah, I have a graphite mark right here in my chest.
That's amazing. Does that mean are you like bulletproof?
Yeah, basically. I had a buddy get stabbed with a bartender's knife like 17 times once.
A bartender's knife?
Well, like the wine key, like the little tiny blade that comes out.
He kind of
got like slow poked and prodded.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he had wounds all over his body.
By an angry person?
Tortured?
Yeah, it was a fight.
Did he know where the diamonds were?
And he was winning the fight in a big way, but the guy had the key and he was like slashing his back the whole time. Pretty wild.
Okay.
Happy Friday!
Hey!
Hey, so welcome in,
everybody. Jamie Lynch is in the big studio today. Bob Cooney has the day off. The lovely Sam Wilson is behind the glass, as they say in the radio business. Trey Thomas, Mark Farzetta, welcome in to Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company specializing in multifamily and single-family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com. I don't know if you know this about me, Trey, but it took me like 7 years to propose to my now lovely wife. All right. So some would say
that's
that
it? I thought it was a little longer.
Okay, jerk.
All right. I was 8 and a half.
Okay.
You got a benchmark to meet here.
No, it was about 7 to propose. Not
okay.
I still bought myself an extra year and a half. Not for nothing. But yeah, so that happened. But some might say that there's a commitment issue. I have a commitment phobia, right? Uh-huh. I really don't think that I do. However, the Eagles made a big commitment this week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say that they didn't because there's no other money to back it up, but they came out as soon as humanly possible and said Carson Wentz is the quarterback going forward. We've been talking about it all week. And I don't know if it's that I am a commitment foe. I don't know. Maybe I just like to dissect things.
You just want to be careful. You want to make sure you're making the right decision. Sometimes that takes a little time.
You want to know.
You want to sleep on it for several years.
Right. Just give me some time.
Yeah.
I need to catch up on my Z's. So I'm just dissecting, I guess, everything with Carson Wentz. And I know that they made the right decision. I know that he's going to be a perennial MVP candidate. I know he's going to be that good a quarterback. I know in my heart of hearts, this guy's going to go on. He's going to win a Super Bowl here in Philadelphia, having started the whole season and finished the season, played the whole year and all that jazz, right? But then I really started to think about things. And I'm like, well, why am I so confident that Carson Wentz is going to be that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I so confident that he'll be able to go from week one through week 17 into the postseason, roll the whole thing, right, and bring what Nick Foles ultimately brought us, which was a Super Bowl championship? And then I started really looking at his career, his professional career. And I know everyone wants to go the injury-prone label because that's what's happened the last 2 years. But I do think it's unfair when they look at his rookie season and they say, oh, well, he was injured his rookie year. Yeah, he got injured in the preseason and then became your starter a week before the year and then looked like an absolute stud for 3 weeks, almost four, and then had that one game against the Lions. You remember he kind of threw it up at the end of the game, made a stupid throw. And that was the first time we looked at Carson Wentz 3 years ago and said, oh, there's a rookie. Not always that. He's a 10-year vet. He's playing like he's been in the league for over a decade. No, that was the first time we looked at him and went, oh, wow, okay, he's 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the team went on to be 7-9 that year. He threw only 16 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. He had a passer rating sub-80. Yeah, now the people that want to make excuses for him will say Lane Johnson didn't play 10 of those games because that's when he, quote-unquote, couldn't lay off the juice, right? Then you look at the following year, last year.
They were supplements.
Whatever. I'm just quoting Jason Kelsey. Yeah, exactly.
And the first one was Adderall, which isn't even illegal anymore.
Yeah, I know. Come on.
Stupid.
I know. So you look at it like that. And then you look at the following year, which was last year, the MVP season, how great that was. Everything was phenomenal. 33 touchdowns, a franchise record, 7 interceptions, 101 passer rating, actually one tick lower than what it was this year for him.
Which is crazy.
It is. It's absolutely insane. But again, whenever we talk about Carson Wentz's year, we talk about the numbers. And we go, wow, the numbers were good. But the eye test is something he was failing miserably. So then you look at that, right? And 5-6 is a starter this year before, again, Nick Foles came in and took things over. And then there's another thing that sticks in my crawl. And I know Sam loves that phrase. But
do we ever look up where it came from?
No, and I think Sam's afraid to. I don't think she wants to. I think she's afraid.
She thinks crawl is something else.
Yeah, Google image it. Hey, Sam, let me know what comes up.
It's gross.
Yeah. Her response to it was like, whoa, what?
It can mean any part of the body. That's what it said.
Yeah.
How did we arrive there? Sam, what was your take on it?
Where'd
three
your mind
prong,
go?
Trey, three prongs.
Touche. Touche.
All right.
But then you look at this year, and you're not passing the eye test and all that. And then there's the thing that really bothers me. Here's what, when I was really analyzing this, when I was really thinking about this, mulling it over, right? Remember that report from Josina Anderson about how someone in the locker room...
Alshon.
Your theory was Alshon. My theory was Nelly. But someone in the locker room was saying that there was little... The rhythm was upset by how many times Zach Ertz had been targeted by this by Carson Wentz.
And it's like you didn't even need that report to know it.
Yeah.
Because Carson was locking in on Ertz a ton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get into this and talk about Carson. And I don't want to make it about Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz or anything like that.
No.
But how confident are you? Like, if you had to predict the next 10 years for Carson Wentz, what's it look like? How successful? Do you see a Super Bowl? Are you confident that Carson Wentz will give you another Super Bowl? Because, I mean, look, that's what it all comes down to,
yeah.
Right? Because if he doesn't... It's a failure. Even if Carson Wentz goes on to have a career like Donovan McNabb had here in Philadelphia, where they got close a lot but didn't win, ultimately it's going to be like, well...
Didn't get it done. Nick did.
And got rid of the wrong guy. That's what it's going to come down to.
Oh, God.
And we examine this. It is. I mean, in all seriousness. Think about this. What if this happened with... You know, A.J. Feely or Jeff Garcia or Coy Detmer, right? What if they came in and still the fairly early goings of the McNabb era, what was it, 02 when he got hurt? And he comes in with McNabb and Feely and Coy Detmer. What if he gets hurt? Those guys go in. Either one of them wins a Super Bowl, looks good, plays as well as he played in that Super Bowl, as well as Nick Foles did. And then within 2 years... Coy Detmer's gone. A.J. Feely's gone. Donovan goes on to have the career that he did here. He gets to a Super Bowl, doesn't win. Ultimately, we're going to look back and go, oh, man, that Coy, that A.J., oh, those guys, oh, he got rid of the wrong guy, That's what it's going to come down to. And it might not be fair, but it comes down to the ultimate prize. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Also, championship weekend.
Woo!
It does suck that the Eagles aren't in, but I feel like if you're a football fan, this is a big weekend for you.
It's huge.
Sunday, you got no plans but to sit down.
And listen to me on the radio 1 to 5.
And do that.
That's right.
Not even watch the game. We'll just tell you about it on Monday.
And cheer on big race.
I would stab you if it meant I would listen. I'd listen to your program.
Championship Sunday is one of the great days of the year. It really is.
No doubt. So you watch, in my opinion right now, the most hated team in Philadelphia, the New Orleans Saints, even more so than the Cowboys. And that's a personal statement, but I'll make it blanket for Philadelphia. You have the Saints hosting the Rams at 3:05. Then you have Andy Reid and the Chiefs and the New England Patriots at 6:40. And to go back to your era again with McNabb and Reid and all that, I'm over it. I'll never be a big Andy Reid fan. That will never happen.
I was for about...
I love you, Big Red!
And
10-11 years, I was a huge fan.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Donovan McNabb until he started making comments about how he didn't want to use every one of his God-given assets to win a game.
The banjo, the air guitar, that was when I think it started to turn for him.
For him?
For five.
The air banjo?
It was tough to defend.
For me, I was a T.O. guy. I was on T.O.'s side.
I was a T.O. guy, too.
Yeah, that's when it changed for me.
Oh, you mean the guy that took us to a Super Bowl and was the best player on the field?
That broke his ankle and we're like, all right, I'm ready to go.
That guy. So I want to get into people's feelings about Andy Reid and whether or not they can pull for him this year.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be hoping that the Chiefs beat the Patriots. I'm going to be rooting for Andy Reid. I will say. I'm not even going to say just pulling for. I will be actively rooting for Andy Reid and the Chiefs to beat the Patriots, because I'll always hate them no matter what,
yeah,
and go on and win a Super Bowl. And for two reasons. One, I mean, it's not like Andy Reid didn't have some success here. Yeah. It's not like he didn't win a lot of games.
He pulled this franchise out of the dumper and turned it around.
He made them a consistent winner. And I've heard that argument, Jamie, and I don't like it because a couple of years earlier, I mean, Ray Rhodes had back-to-back 10-6 seasons.
Yeah.
And then he had back-to-back 6-10 seasons, I believe.
Yeah. My rookie year, we were 3-13.
Woo! With Rhodes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. I think you went 10-6, 10-6, 6-10, and then 3-13.
Yeah.
So it was a really bad year. He came in, average year, and then they started making the playoffs and all that other stuff. Yeah, he made them a consistent winner. He made them relevant for an extended period of time, obviously, in the NFL, for over a decade.
They've been one of the most successful NFL franchises now for the last 25 years.
Since he came in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And it was
on
all
the blood and tears and sweat of Trey Thomas.
It was all built on a left tackle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Build a nation around this
guy.
You
must have a cornerstone.
No doubt. And look, we'll go over the numbers with Andy Reid, but I want to know people's feelings about Andy Reid this weekend, whether or not they're going to be rooting for, not rooting against the Patriots. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying rooting for Andy Reid.
I might paint my face red.
The other
in my living room.
In your living room?
Yeah.
Wait, what about 6:40? You'll be home by then.
Yeah, I'll be good.
But in all seriousness, I want to know if people can pull for Andy Reid. I want to know if they can root for Andy Reid. Not just because it's somebody against the Patriots because you hate them. I want to know if somebody looks at Andy Reid and goes, absolutely, I can root for that guy. I want him to win. He was our coach here for 14 years. He was almost 100 games over 500 while he was here. I want Andy Reid to do well. I want him to win. Because I do, for two reasons. One, because again, a lot of success here in Philadelphia. And the other, I predicted that when he would leave here, he'd win a Super Bowl. Like, you go into your first job, and sometimes you just fall into that rhythm, right? And you don't really get out of it. That's your way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll examine that as the show goes on today. And I think sometimes if you get that next job, sometimes, maybe that's what I did the first time around that was wrong, and you correct it. And not to mention, it helps when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes that's just absolutely balling right now.
Yeah, that does help.
And then also, I wanted to enjoy a 76ers win today, but I'm not allowed to. It was a big win.
No?
It was a big win over the Pacers last night. I know some people don't want to even think about the idea that, the Pacers matter and they're clearly better. Yeah, no, they were ahead of you in the standings last night. They were a team that you were chasing going into last night. Huge win for the 76ers, but apparently I'm not allowed to enjoy it because I have to talk about whether or not Joel Embiid was allowed, should have played in a game where his back was hurting.
We have a guy that had some back history here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we'll get into that.
The back problems suck, man.
No doubt. So we'll get into that with Joel Embiid, with the 76ers, Andy Reid, Carson Wentz. We got some other things we want to get into regarding the baseball free agency and all that. Some more news about that with Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, and possibly Mike Trout, as we talked about a second ago. We'll get you a Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. But really, we'll jump into this whole Carson Wentz thing coming up in a few here on 97.5. And on the line with us right now from Philly.com and The Inquirer and author of the book Underdogs. And perhaps no better time like right now than to relive the magic of last season than reading and buying Zach Berman's book, Underdogs.
And a new dad for the second time.
Second time, that's right. Zach, congratulations once again.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
As always, man.
Congrats. What'd you have?
I had a girl, so I have a boy and a girl now.
Nice. Congrats. The perfect family. Perfect family. There you go. Zach, and obviously, I just said you could relive the magic of last season with the book Underdogs.
That was fun.
Where you could get that where?
You can get that anywhere books are sold, your local bookstore, Amazon.com, wherever you go. The book's available.
There you go. All right, Zach, let's look at this whole situation because the Eagles have been, over the last couple of weeks, pretty outspoken about who their starting quarterback is. With Carson Wentz being hurt towards season's end, it seems like for the last couple of Mondays, Doug Peterson came out and said, Nick Foles is our starting quarterback. He's the guy starting on Sunday. That's that. So now you have a little bit of a different scenario. Season is over, and immediately they announce Carson Wentz team's going forward. Not a surprise by any means, but Nick Foles has set a pretty high bar. So if you were to fast forward, say, through the next 10 years and look back on it, what are you expecting from Carson Wentz to provide over his time as the Philadelphia Eagles starting quarterback?
I think Carson Wentz is objectively the better quarterback of the two. He's more talented. He's more athletic. I mean, from the Eagles' perspective, he's younger. And for the time being, he's less expensive. I can't guarantee you that he's going to have the Super Bowl success that Nick Foles had. But what I would place a bet on is that if you had Nick Foles as your quarterback for the next 10 years or Carson Wentz as your quarterback for the next 10 years, Carson Wentz gives you much more of a chance to have consistent success.
Yeah, and you know, Jamie brought up earlier in the show, like, look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, just won Super Bowl championship at this point because a lot of other things need to go right for the Green Bay Packers. But do you think he will at least be an elite quarterback in the NFL that will always have his team in the running for a championship?
Absolutely. I thought he was an elite quarterback last season when he was really, either him or Tom Brady were the MVP candidates by week 14 when he got hurt. You know, and you look at their record at the time, clearly the Eagles underachieved this year while Carson Wentz was the quarterback, and Carson is a part of that. But I think when you look at the overall package, when you look at the age, I definitely think Carson Wentz is going to be in that conversation for the elite quarterbacks in the league over the next decade.
Zach, so, you know, there's a lot of talk now. Are you going to be able to trade Foles? Can you franchise him and trade him? All that. I think there's too many wrinkles involved with it all to kind of be that realistic. But Adam Schefter joined us on Wednesday, and this was only his guess, reading the tea leaves here. His guess is that they're going to be able to figure out a way to flip Nick Foles in some kind of trade. If you had to guess today on January 18th, what would you kind of put that percentage at of being realistic or not?
That's a good question. I would say 50-50, maybe a bit less. What I think is going to happen is this. I think that the Eagles are going to exercise the option, okay, the $20 million option.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Nick Foles will buy back his free agency.
Yeah.
And the only way I don't see that happening is if the Eagles and Nick Foles can get together and kind of work out a trade where the Eagles get the compensation they want, and a team and Nick Foles is more attractive to another team on a $20 million salary that's fixed than trying to kind of play the open market. So that's the only scenario I can see with the trade. I don't see them tagging him. I just think that cap hold, the implications of it will be a little too difficult. But you can never rule that out. My guess, though, is that Foles buys back free agency, and the Eagles get that compensatory pick in 2020.
Do you think that's appealing to some teams, having them on a one-year kind of controlled deal? Just because there's still doubts, is he a system guy or is he, you know, straight up just a really good quarterback? Do you think that's appealing to some teams to take him on a franchise and not try to extend him?
I would guess it is, but my guess is Nick Foles would want to be extended. My guess is
yeah.
Nick Foles would want some type of organizational commitment. But if you can get them locked in at that $20 million number next year and then kind of have the extension set in thereafter, I think that could be appealing. You know, and the other thing too is for teams, if you know who your quarterback is and you don't have to kind of get into that free agency bidding war, I think that really helps you in terms of your plans.
You know, a lot of people made a lot out of, the players playing a little bit more for Foles compared to Wentz or vice versa or whatever. So did you see that? And so what is it about Foles that made everybody kind of stand up a little bit?
It's a good question. Clearly the offense played better during, you know, those final few weeks when Nick Foles was the quarterback. Now, you need to look at kind of causation correlation there. And I'm not certain it was because Nick Foles was in the lineup. There are a lot of factors there. I mean, certainly the offensive line playing, or I guess getting healthier and playing better. You saw the defense play better during the final stretch of the season. But I do think that what Nick Foles did especially well, and certainly Carson Wentz can take from it, was, Nick Foles really focused on kind of being the distributor in the offense. And that point guard analogy, it is apt when you talk about Nick Foles. He wasn't trying to do too much on plays. He was letting his playmakers get the ball in their hands. He put those 50-50 balls up for Alshon Jeffery. And I think sometimes with Carson Wentz, the extending plays and really going through his progressions to find the perfect read, I don't want to say that worked to the detriment, but it didn't work as successfully as what Foles was doing.
Zach, I'm speaking with Zach Berman of Philly.com and the Philly Inquirer, also author of the book Underdogs. Zach, how much of that Nick Foles that was ready to retire a couple of years ago do you think still exists within Nick? Or do you think it's really changed to the point where this guy wants to stay in the league for at least 5 or 10 more years and lead a team to a Super Bowl again? Do you think that he is the type of guy that now is taking on that persona of being the guy for a team?
I believe so. And in terms of how long he wants to play, I asked him this question the other day. You were there, and he said that he kind of has that love of football back. I think he's in a different place than he was a few years ago. He didn't answer the question directly because, you know, he said that's a conversation he has with his wife and his right. family. But this is not someone who's looking at it like another year or two. I think if he was in the right football situation, he'd play for an extended period of time here.
So I think a lot of people still look at him with that mindset that he is still the guy that would be happy to take a clipboard again and sit behind Carson Wentz. But you don't see that as being the case.
No, I don't believe that's the case at all. And I can't speak for Nick Foles, but I certainly think Nick Foles wants to lead a team. He has said that. Frankly, if you go back to his conversations in the spring, he was looking at the deal he signed as for the 2018 season and a chance to kind of pick his own team in 2019. I think that was the plan all along. I don't think Nick Foles would be happy being the number two quarterback.
Zach, if I had to give you three guys real quick, who's the most likely to return? Brandon Graham, Jordan Hicks, and I'll throw Jay Ajayi in because I do think a one-year kind of prove it, you know, low-money deal could be realistic for him. Of those three guys, who do you think is most realistic to return?
I think Jordan Hicks is most realistic to return when you look at the age and you look at the need. The Eagles really don't have a lot of depth at linebacker. Jordan Hicks would be a candidate for one-year show-me deal, so to speak. Mm-hmm. He needs to stay healthy, but when he's on the field, he's a very productive player and he's respected in the locker room. I think that's a guy the Eagles will try to keep.
All right, Zach Berman, Philly.com. We appreciate you. Oh, I got your predictions for this weekend. You got Andy Reid back at it against Bill Belichick. Nothing we haven't seen before. And then you obviously have the Saints taking on the Rams.
Well, so before the season, my Super Bowl pick was the Saints and the Patriots. So just to try to
you got to ride it out.
Wow.
I'm going to ride it out. I would like.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
To see Andy Reid get to the Super Bowl here, but I'm going to go with the Saints and the Patriots.
All right. Sounds good. Zach Berman, Philly.com, Philly Inquirer, and author of the book Underdogs. We appreciate you coming on as always, Zach.
Anytime, guys.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Trey Thomas, Mark Farzetta, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas, and in studio with us right now, ladies and gentlemen, so excited, the great Frank Caliendo. Frank, welcome in, my man.
You guys are way more excited than I am.
At least you're
faking it.
No. This is how I am.
Oh, yeah.
I swear to you. Don't you know
you're in Philly? I didn't expect this. What? You've smiled twice. What's going on?
I'm a happy person.
I know people get that. I shouldn't do that because now all the listeners are going to be like, we're not like that. And they'll tweet at me what a jerk I am.
Right.
Like, no, you're proving the point. Whatever.
Where are you performing again? Dover Downs, you're going to be
Dover Downs tonight. If you want to make the trek out there, and then back in February, I'll be at Parks Casino. And if you're up, was it to the north from here? Where's Atlantic City?
Atlantic City is to the east.
I'm not good with geometry. I don't know which voice to do that in. Terry Burns. I'm not good with geometry. I was on The Masked Singer.
No, yeah,
I didn't even say. I just heard about that. I don't even understand The Masked Singer. It's like Bane in, right?
Hello, Batman. I'm going to sing now.
That makes sense. There's no way they're actually singing in those masked.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
There's a little great, but so basically it's The Masked Dancer. the Masked Costume Dancer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's what
All
it's
right.
going to be.
I like it. I like it.
Antonio Brown was week one elephant or something.
Yeah, he was the elephant.
Was
yeah.
he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Antonio Brown.
I think it ticked off some of his teammates.
Yeah. Maybe might have hurt a little bit.
This is good. This is good. We're all learning today. Yeah. We're all learning
today.
Yeah,
you got to pay more attention to the Masked Singer and less about your job.
You're right. I apologize.
Although that there's some crossover there with sports and goofy entertainment that everybody should be embarrassed they love.
Totally. 100%. 100%. Now, right. When you come into like the Philly area, is there any difference? Like, you seem to know the people here. When it comes to like a Philly audience, what's a Philly audience like?
No, I mean, it's not really. It's just East Coast audience. I think the East Coast audience is a little different. I push stuff out a little faster. There's not really a... I don't want to say it as a negative thing because it's just push it. It's like kind of a fighter's mentality. I'm not going to go Rocky here, but it is kind of that. It's like that in New York. It's like that in New Jersey. Everywhere out on this side of the country, because I grew up in the Midwest and everything's like, okay. And then you go to the South, like, we will get to it. It's that kind of a thing. You go out West, like, we've seen it. I'm like, I haven't done it yet. We know what it is. So. That's the crazy. Like, I got friends doing sports radio in California. Mm-hmm. You guys wouldn't understand because nobody really cares. Football's on at 9 a.m. or something. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Football pregame shows around that time. It's 10 a.m. It's a weird. It's just different. Totally different.
Can I ask you something about you people?
No,
I gotta ask you this. The Midwest.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so nice. I never know if
so nice until you go to the South and then you realize not nice at all. Oh. It's nice.
But it's like, is it a shallow nice or is it a legit genuine nice?
No, I think that's real. I think people are gradually happy that you come to their city. Like, I do a bunch of shows in Iowa and they're like, oh, thank you for coming here. We really appreciate it. But you go like New York or Philly, you're like, you should be here. What are you talking about? Yeah. Why weren't you here earlier? It's like in New England. The way they are in New England now,
yeah.
It's like, that's totally crazy because that's 10 times 10. That you go to Chicago and they're like, hey, Bears, 85 Super Bowl. Unbelievable. Huh? They're still reliving Michael Jordan, three-peat. It's like, you wouldn't believe it. You go to New England, we haven't won a Super Bowl for a year. It's been a full year since we won one. Well, you're lucky, all right? It's not like that everywhere.
Were they the first voices you did, voices like the accents? Were they the first voice? What was the first voice you did?
First impression was probably, the first voices I did were Saturday Night Live and in Living Color. I would watch everything that Damon Wayans would do and go, you guys remember those? Like,
yeah. Sure.
The Ubiquities and Contemplations.
Yes.
Oswald Bates, who was in the prison
totally.
Cell.
Yeah.
I love that.
Conspiracy.
Yeah. Conspiracy personified. But I digress. It was that stuff in the Wayne's World and those kind of characters. That
Homie
was
the clown.
Yeah. Yeah. Homie the clown, don't mess around. Even though the man tried to keep him down. But to me, that was brilliant stuff. And still, I mean, still is. I mean, you look at where culture is today, and I don't know if you could do in Living Color. I mean,
no.
But the concepts were like so edgy and so different. And it, like, as a kid, as a white kid growing up in suburban Wisconsin, suburban Milwaukee, going, that was like part of my introduction to there's other people with other cultures and there's different life experiences and stuff. So I learned a lot at that point. But that's what I think comedy can do.
And then sports came in where?
Sports, my dad was a minor league baseball player in the White Sox organization before I was born. So we grew up playing baseball, football, basketball. And I got injured running back. Got the Al Bundy story.
Yeah, sure.
I was this size. I haven't grown since I was a freshman. And I look at stuff and you look at athletes now and you go, at that time I thought, oh, I'm pretty fast. And I'm like, no, not fast. Like I legitimately ran a 4.240. And I look at all you guys. Like, I was timing it myself as I ran. But I was a decent athlete, all region kind of baseball player and stuff like that, but never, not a good enough arm. I could hit a little bit, but that's really all it was. But I just got in. I was, as a catcher, I would be behind the plate just, talking to umpires, talking to hitters and stuff like that. That was right. I worked for a guy named Mike Hegan at an indoor baseball softball place. He played with the A's, was the play-by-play guy or the color analyst for the Indians for a while. And I worked with that and was around some Craig Council. My brother used to throw batting practice.
Oh my
God. Council every day, not every day, but like every.
Did he have that weird batting stance even then?
Yeah, always. And everybody made fun of Craig Council's a guy I use is like an example for people. Everybody said Craig's not going anywhere. People, all the minor league players that would get drafted higher than him and walking around, like they're like he's working so hard, it's never going to happen. And then it happened, and everybody's like, okay, so hard work really can't. I mean, he had some tools, but he developed tools to a level that nobody even thought possible at that time. And I look at it like this too: when we were kids, I don't know how old you guys are. I turn 45 tomorrow.
And you got a few on me.
Yeah, when we played sports as kids, we practiced. We'd go to practice, and now you train. Mm-hmm. And kids start training 8, 10 years old if they can.
That's a great point.
And I think part of the problem with the NFL and any sport now, the NFL especially, you've trained bodies to get so fast, so powerful, that you can't train your bones, ligaments, and stuff like that. You can only train the muscle, right? So I don't know how much everything can keep up with that. At a certain point, that's why we're getting, I believe, so many injuries, is because the human being, I don't know, was supposed to get this far this fast.
Yeah, I'm 36, and I remember like that was kind of just starting. I feel like when I was little, right. Like I feel like you could play a bunch of sports until like eighth grade, and right. Then you had to pick one,
yeah.
And then you had to train all year round for that one sport. That's how I remember it going. And now kids get a seventh grader is getting a scholarship to or an offer to Michigan.
Well, I have a friend. He got three scholarship offers. His son got three scholarship offers. Eighth grade, seventh grade year in Arizona because he's a 6'10 freshman this year. He's actually 6'11.
Wow.
And he shoots threes. Mm-hmm. And he looks like a praying mantis. He's legit, yeah. Size 19 shoes, 7'2 wingspan. His name's Dylan Anderson. USA Today already did.
Wow.
A preview on him, but it's ridiculous. I mean, he looks like a Dirk Nowitzki type. He looks like a European basketball player, but he's got all the tools. He's only been playing basketball for 2 years. He wanted to play football. His dad, he was playing I-9 sports. His dad ran.
Snap him in half.
That's what I said. I go, they're going to tackle you at your knees.
Yeah.
And that's because that's everybody else's waist.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Frank Caliendo, he's going to be performing at Dover Downs tonight. Check him out. And then you're going to be at Parks Casino
In mid-February, and Atlantic City at Ocean, it's Ocean? I think it's singular? I should have looked it up. Frank on Stage. I had never been there before, so that's the first time I'm going to be there. FrankOnStage.com brings you to all that. It even gives you, I started doing some podcasts, too, that not sports, so we're not in competition yet.
Yeah, right.
And it's Ocean, not plural.
But yeah, I thought it was singular because if it was plural.
It sounds like it should be Oceans, but it's Ocean.
Like, and the movie is Ocean 11. No, Ocean.
And then so obviously you break onto the scene.
Breaking onto the scene is the way it is. Slowly chip my way.
Okay.
That's the way it seems to have worked for me. The Madden thing, I came on, Kimmel was doing the pregame stuff at Fox at the time.
Yeah.
So Jimmy was doing that, and he wanted somebody to do a John Madden. And the story goes, legend has it, that he had a guy who did John Madden, and then his producer, Jimmy Brusca, had a guy who had a guy who did John Madden. And it turned out I was the same guy. So they knew of me. They're like, we're going to use my guy. No, we're going to use my guy. And I was the guy. So I came on, did Madden for president. Which at the time seemed like something like that could never happen.
Right.
And then he took a pair of hedge clippers to the eyebrows, and apparently Madden was watching, going, hey, you know, I'm not real thrilled about this. What's going on? And the next day, next week he came in with high eyebrows clipped and very clean cut.
Now John Gruden becoming a head coach again helps.
He's having man.
Does that help Frank Caliendo? Or does it hurt Frank Caliendo?
Well, I'm doing the impressions. If you notice, and I used to come in and just do impression after impression impression. And I'm trying to integrate that both ways, where I do the impressions when it's called for and not overdo it at the same time, so people get to know a piece of me as well. And that's what kind of the podcasts are part of that too. But the Gruden thing, I think, helps in terms of he's everywhere now. He's not just at ESPN. When he was just at ESPN, no other network wanted to talk about him, really, so because that was their guy. Now it's free. They brought me in to talk. I came in before a game. It was the Arizona Cardinals. And he's like, I get a text from one of the guys there. He's like, do you want to talk to the team? I'm like, yeah, I guess I could. I'll try it. And he's like, we'll do some Gruden to do some other stuff. I come in, I start doing the Gruden. I'm like, first off, I said, does he swear when he's doing this stuff? They're like, no, I don't think he swears very much. I listen to his pregame speech. It's this man, we're doing this, and then, you know, trying to get everybody riled up. And then I come in and I start doing the same stuff, man. And I was doing it and it's just killing. The guys are going crazy. I'm looking over at Gruden's like, you're turning red over there, man. Derek Carr, I love you with your little binder, man. You're doing a great job taking notes. I bet every quarterback in the league does this except for Tom Brady. He's probably got a guy who does it for him, man. I tell you what. And Gruden's like, tries to do somebody else. I'm like, no, you brought me in. I'm going to do this the whole time. So then I did some Stephen A. Smith and Barkley and stuff like that. And I did a little Mel Kiper. Guys never like Mel Kiper because get graded as you're on your way out of college. Mm-hmm. Might have cost you a couple $100,000 a year coming into the league because things I said coming out of my dungeon. Tremendous situation. So it was just a blast. And then they won the game. And, you know, it's the three quarters of the way through the season. Then they're inviting me to every game. I'm like, it can't come to every.
Yeah, right.
But I got a game ball. So I never thought I would ever get an NFL game ball. And I talked to Derek afterward, who I'd met before when I did the Gruden camp and stuff like that. And he was like, you really pumped us up. He's like, that was great. I'm like, well, yeah, they can start paying me. I'm 1-0 in live performances for you guys.
Frank Caliendo, great talking to you. Great meeting you. We've never met before.
Yeah,
we crossed paths once or twice, but never officially met. And appreciate you coming in. And
sure.
Dover Downs tonight. Make sure you check out Frank Caliendo. How do we look you up?
FrankOnStage.com has all the information for the for the day tonight, which is Dover Downs, and then next week will be, or not next week, in February is going to be Parks Casino. I think it's mid-February. If somebody pulls up frankonstage.com, I probably could have done it. I have a phone. What an idiot.
You're doing
it's
great.
It's like when somebody says, do you need a map? No, I have a phone.
Anybody got a computer? You have a phone, Frank.
Thanks. And it's Dover Downs at Ocean Casino.
Ocean Resort Casino, February 23rd.
Yeah, out in Atlantic City. So that must be 22nd, 23rd, is that what it is?
Yes, sir.
In February. Frank on stage will come. And the information on the podcast is on there, too, or frankpods.com. And there's a couple of, one of them's like a nerdy kind of thing, comic book deal. I went to this thing called Ace Con this weekend. And I just got the nod, we're going to break. I met Tom Hiddleston, Loki. From the
God.
Oh, yeah. And my daughter, it was the greatest. It was unbelievable.
Oh, I'm sure she freaked out.
Things. So, we're doing this kind of movie and type of podcast as well. And the other one I'm doing with Al Jackson, who's just a brilliant, brilliant guy. It's more like, it's almost like it's, and I know people, it's not about politics and this, but it's a non-political, almost political discussion where people just try and understand each other. And Al was the guy who went viral on the Daily Blast Live talking about the national anthem and veterans.
Ooh, okay.
If you ever saw that.
Yeah.
And it's all about listening to everybody else and pretty cool thing. We get into sports and
stuff. Mix like that in.
No, we get into that because sports is very important culturally.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Frank Caliendo, thanks so much. Great meeting you, man. Good luck to you. And, I'm sure people will be checking you out.
I'll tell you what,
Dover
man. It's going to be fun.
As always, Time of the Fanatic, 9:46.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.